We've been talking this year about the notion of hope. By the way, I got a cold 2 days ago. I gladly shared it with my wife. And so I can't hear hardly anything this morning. My ears are plugged up. My hearing aids don't work. In fact, they become really good earplugs. And so I'm at the point now where I have to read lips. The other thing that happens is I can't hear myself. So I don't know whether I'm yelling or I'm whispering. That's why I have to stand close to Kim, because she always reminds me, you're talking really loud. Or she says, speak up. So if you can't hear me, just raise your hand and I'll try to speak up. But I'm having difficulty hearing this morning. We've been talking about the notion of hope and how important hope is for the life of a Christian, how it would be almost impossible for us to be the kind of people that God wants us to be if we lived a hopeless life. So today I want to continue that discussion and talk about hope as it relates to how God preserves us through temptation. You know, we're all going to face temptation. It's very real. It can't be escaped. And if we're not careful, temptations that we face can lead to the destruction of our soul. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 16. Beginning at verse 1, this is what the Apostle Paul said. And the important part of this will come a little bit later. But recognize as we begin this reading just how desperately wicked temptation is. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. They drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, they were just like us in some ways. Their baptism was different than our baptism. I realize that. But those were people who had a relationship with God, like we have a relationship with God. And then the apostle says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, those things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Don't be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink up and got up. They sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We're familiar with how Moses went up on the mountain. While he was up there, the people persuaded Aaron to make that golden calf. And Moses came back down from the mountain, and the people were having a big party. They were worshiping the wrong God. God was not pleased. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. In one day, 23,000 of them died. Now, remember, these were people that had originally had a relationship with God. And somehow temptation got a hold of them and it destroyed them. We should not test Christ as some of them did. And they were killed by snakes. Don't grumble as some of them did. They were destroyed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Here's the important part. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my friends, flee from idolatry. God is going to help us persevere in the face of temptation. Now, our temptation is in many ways a little bit harder to deal with than their temptation. We're not tempted to make a golden calf and worship the wrong God. I don't think any of us faces that kind of temptation. Maybe we do, but we're not tempted like that. But Jesus told a parable. And the parable, I think, illustrates the kind of temptations that we're more likely to face. Anyway, let's read the parable, Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 4. When a large crowd was gathering and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was sowing or scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Didn't produce anything. That's not us. Some fell on rocky ground. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. I don't think that's us either. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." So which kind of people are we most likely to be? Well, we want to be, ultimately, people who brought forth 100-fold. But temptation that comes our way is like the thorns that grow up. And those thorns choke us out. Well, this is the way Jesus explained it. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who heard. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are those who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. They go on their way. They're choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. Then he says the good seed stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. We want to avoid temptation like that. So how does God help us to avoid, or not avoid, but persevere through temptation? As I read the New Testament, I see a lot of ways that God prepared people to deal with temptation and help them to get through it. The first one that I encounter is God gives people mountaintop moments. In the 3rd chapter of the book of Luke, you read this about what happened to Jesus. Now, John the Baptist has been baptizing people in the Jordan. All of Israel is going out to listen to it. Jesus eventually came out and was baptized by John. This is the way that Luke describes it. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, here it comes. The heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What a mountaintop moment for Jesus. to hear the voice from heaven say, you are my son, I am pleased with you. Now, we're not going to hear that kind of a voice from heaven. But think back to the mountaintop moments that you have experienced. Maybe it was your baptism. And you felt at that moment that God was with you. That's a mountaintop moment. Now, what happened to Jesus right after that? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit in Luke, the fourth chapter, left the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. I know Jesus responded to the temptations by using the Old Testament scripture. But I can't help but believe that God prepared Jesus for the temptation with that mountaintop moment. It immediately preceded it. You know, sometimes when we think about the temptation of Jesus, we start at Luke 4. And we read Luke 4 trying to understand Jesus persevering through temptations, and we forget about what happened in Luke 3. So I think God provides us with mountaintop moments. And they are an incredible source of strength. Let's revel in them. The second way that God helps us to persevere through temptation is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us strength to overcome our temptations. Now, to the apostles, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would give them miraculous guidance. Look at Luke, the 12th chapter. When you're brought before synagogues, rulers, authorities, don't worry about how you'll defend yourselves or what you'll say. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you shall say. They didn't have to study. They didn't have to read their scriptures. They didn't have to think about how they were going to make a defense. The Holy Spirit did it miraculously for these apostles. Now, we don't have that. We're not going to find some miracle that the Holy Spirit is going to do for us, but we are going to find non-miraculous guidance from the Holy Spirit. We're going to find strength. Look at Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Let that sink in. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. The Spirit gives us strength. When we've overcome temptation, never let it be said of us that he overcame temptation because of the strength of his will. He looked down deep inside of himself and drew up from the wells of his being the ability to overcome temptation. Rather, let it be said, he's full of the Spirit, and the Spirit helped him. Well, another way that God helps us to persevere through temptation is the strength that we get from encouragement by our allies. Galatians 6, beginning at verse 2. The apostle said, carry each other's burdens. In this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. And we're talking about comparing ourselves with our allies. That's not the point. But our allies help us carry our load. He says, be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh he'll reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and this is why it's so important, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Yes, we need to rely on that great cloud of witnesses that the writer of Hebrews describes in Hebrews 12. Let us lay aside every weight that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus. He's the ultimate ally who comes to our side. And yes, sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we're beaten down. And sometimes we have to say to our allies, I need to come and sit in your shade for a while. The sun is beating down on me relentlessly right now. I need your help. Never be afraid to look to our allies for help. Then there's one final way that I think God helps us to persevere through temptation. And this is the way that I'm sure I don't want to experience, although I realize that it's for my good. Sometimes God gives us strength in failure. Our failures today can prepare us to face greater temptations tomorrow successfully. I don't want to fail today, but it can help me. I need to understand that.
Right.
Luke, the second chapter, the 22nd chapter, excuse me, beginning at verse 31, Jesus talks to Peter. And he warned him. This is before Jesus is arrested in the garden. He said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Now, he wanted all of the apostles. But Jesus is speaking specifically to Peter or to Simon. He says, but I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And then look at what he says. And when you have turned back, Simon's faith failed him. He was the one who cut off the servant of the high priest's ear with his sword. Jesus had to tell him, put your sword away. That's not the way we're going to defend me. Simon denied that he knew Jesus three times. The first time was rather mild. I don't know him. Second time was a little bit more stern. I've never met the man. Third time, look at what Simon did. He began to curse and swear. I'll prove I don't know him, because I'll do things that nobody who knew him would ever do. So Simon Peter cursed and swore. And then the record says, Jesus looked at him. Can you imagine the dejection that Peter felt, knowing that he had failed? Maybe, and I can't say this for sure, maybe God had Peter fail because he knew he was preparing him for greater temptations in the future. So what does all of that mean? God's going to preserve us through temptation. And it's mostly because of preparation. God doesn't take the temptation away. He doesn't so construct our lives that we're never going to confront the temptations to fall away from God, to become enamored with the things of this life to such an extent that they pull us away from God. And it doesn't matter whether it's school or it's stuff or it's just being too busy. God prepares us to face temptation successfully. So first, never forget your mountaintop moments. Always remember the day you were baptized and the glorious feeling that you had that God was with you at that moment. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Look to Him for strength and give Him the credit when He gives you the strength. Share with your allies. Look to them for strength. And if you can be an ally, be one. And then finally, if you fail, get up again. Just like Peter did. You remember when, after his resurrection, Jesus sent word to the apostles to meet him in Jerusalem? He said something very important there. The angel was going to invite them to join Jesus, and he said, tell the apostles and Peter. I don't know why he said and Peter, but I think it may be because Peter was pretty dejected. So get up again when you fail. Living a life that God wants us to live is a blessing. Being able to avoid the temptations that constantly face us is a blessing. And if you want to begin to embark on that life today by putting the old man of sin to death and being raised with Jesus, a new creature in Christ, able to work out the things that God has designed for you, we want to help you do that. Turn away from the old life. Confess that Jesus died for your sins. We'll baptize you. We'll help you put the old man to death. Then you'll have a mountaintop moment that'll stand you in good stead. And if you're like so many of the Israelites that God wasn't pleased with, you had a relationship with God, and then you let it go. The temptations got the best of you. Return to God. James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And because of that, he says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. We'll pray with you. Turn away from what took you away from God and come back. But we want you to think about it.